We're talking about some of the latest immigration headlines. Earlier this week, President Obama gave a speech in which he pledged to work alone on immigration reform. And just yesterday, anti-immigrant protests in California were so intense they diverted buses full of immigrant detainees.
Alan Gomez is back with us. He's an immigration reporter for USA Today. Alan, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
So we saw on Monday President Obama making a speech saying, tired of waiting for Congress, going to go it alone with some executive action. What kind of things did he lay out there?
Well, his administration has been doing some things already for the last couple of weeks. Monday was just basically his big announcement that he was doing that and sort of a his way of just declaring to Congress, all right, you're not going to do anything, so I'm going to go ahead and do this. So what they've been doing in the past few weeks is, first, they've been redirecting immigration judges, U.S. attorneys, and asylum officers down towards the border to try to hurry up some of these deportation proceedings from these waves of kids that are coming across the border. They're also scrambling to find places all around the country to house a lot of these kids. I mean, there's been just a massive influx, tens of thousands, over 50,000 so far this year, of young minors who have been caught crossing the border, and the border patrol stations all along the border just aren't equipped for that. So they're trying to find places around the country to place them. And they've also been working internationally, working with the governments of Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador. Those are the three countries that most of these kids are coming from right now, to figure out what they can do and how we can help them stop this flow of people that are coming north and just kind of fleeing those countries right now.
Well, immigration has been a deadlocked issue for months, years, in some ways decades. Is this influx of kids from Central America you were just talking about, is that turning up the heat for somebody to do something?
Well, that's a great question, and it's tough to tell right now. You know, some will say that this large influx is you ask Republicans in Congress, and they'll blame the president for this, saying that his lax enforcement record is luring them here. You ask other people, and they say, no, it's actually the raging violence that's going on in those three countries that is pushing people here. Now, what that means for any action in Washington is tough to tell. The president, I don't think he made it any easier with his speech on Monday. Republicans fought back pretty hard to his speech, saying that he's playing politics with the issue and saying, you know, that's not the kind of environment that they can get anything moving in. And there's only about 28 legislative days left in the congressional calendar. So we're really running out of time for anything to happen. But you would think something like this, something of this magnitude, where we're seeing such an influx and such a what they're calling a humanitarian crisis, that it would spur some action. But I can tell you that I haven't really heard anything from the House of Representatives, which is a chamber that's kind of holding things up right now, that would indicate that they're about to suddenly start moving on this.
And Speaker Boehner responded to the president's speech saying, and as I think he's said in the past, we'd love to do something on immigration, but we think that if we give you something on a path to citizenship, you, Mr. President, aren't going to support, or you're not going to enforce border laws. You're not going to strengthen the border. So that's why we're not passing anything. Is that a fair characterization of how Republicans in Congress are thinking about this issue?
Yeah, absolutely. It's hard to sort of weigh in on the validity of it, but that's definitely what the Republicans in the House have been saying. Basically, just to remind everybody, it was about a year ago that the Senate passed its version of an immigration bill. It included a pathway to citizenship. It included billions of dollars to secure the border, and it revamped the legal immigration system to sort of allow for more work permits for people to come in from abroad to work here in the country. The House, almost immediately said that they were not going to take up the bill, but that they were going to go ahead and start working on their version of an immigration bill, something that they found palatable, something that they thought was a good way forward. But in the past year, the only thing that the House has done is introduce a set of what they called principles. This was back in January, that outlined sort of what their version of an immigration bill should look like. They haven't acted on it. They haven't filed any bill. They haven't really done anything. And all they keep saying is that they cannot trust the president, as you said, to enforce the immigration enforcement aspect of it. So we're kind of left in this spot where, if the president suddenly starts deporting people, will the House then decide to go ahead and get moving on it? So it's unclear if that's sort of their excuse for not doing anything, or if there are real concerns about the president's immigration record, and we're kind of left at this impasse now.
an impasse. Well, we've got this difficult situation on the border. The president says he wants to make things go faster for processing the situation of these kids stuck at the border, whether to give them asylum or to send them back home, effectively deport them faster. What is he doing to try to make that happen faster, whichever way the decision goes?
Exactly. Well, one of the things that that we're just learning in these last couple of days is that he's trying to change this law. It's called the Trafficking Victims Protection Reauthorization Act. That's a mouthful, but basically what it means is if you're a kid coming from any of these Central American countries and you're caught by Border Patrol, current law requires that you are taken in. Within 72 hours, you're transferred to the Department of Health and Human Services. They take care of you. They find you safe housing. And they provide you with some sort of legal assistance to work through your immigration case, to see if you can stay, to try to identify ways for you to stay here. What the president is considering asking of Congress now is to change that law so that those kids would be treated in a much, would be handled in a much quicker way. A Border Patrol agent could pretty much make the determination if the child is eligible for any form of relief to stay in the country, and if not, immediately start the deportation and get them out of the country. So the president for months has been working on ways to try to provide more legal counsel for these kids, to find them housing, and then now what he's doing is trying to figure out a way to speed up that process so that they can at least, as they say, get some resolution, deportation or not, and sort of, you know, get the ball rolling on all of this, because there's a huge backlog in immigration court right now. 30,000 some cases, people wait months if not years to have their immigration cases resolved, and during that time they're obviously staying here. So what they're trying to do is just speed up that process to get a resolution one way or another in a much quicker way.
And as I understand it, that can currently work faster if the young person's point of origin is Mexico itself. It takes longer currently because they've come further and would have to go back further to get to Central America.
Exactly. The way that the law is written, if you hail from a contiguous state, meaning Mexico or Canada, and obviously we're predominantly talking about Mexico here, because we can hand them over directly and safely to Mexican authorities, that's why they have a quicker process. Obviously, if we're going to send somebody back to Guatemala, it involves a plane flight. It involves making sure that the authorities down in those countries are prepared to receive them, that they've identified places to place these children. And Mexico has that situation pretty well under control to some degree, so we feel safe handing these people over. And we don't feel that these kids are going to be in any sort of danger if we hand them over to Mexican authorities. But with the overwhelming levels of violence and the difficulties that the Guatemalan, Honduran, and Salvadoran governments are having just getting a handle on their own violence, the thinking has been that there's just not that level of trust to fast-track the deportations over there. So that's why you see this two-pronged approach, trying to speed up the resolution of their cases here in the United States, but also working with those Central American governments to set up what they call repatriation centers, so that these kids can have somewhere to go, somewhere to be received safely, and then the governments down there can then go about figuring out what to do with them, who to place them with, if they can send them back to their families, if that's a dangerous situation. So that those are all, you know, that kind of gives you an idea of just how many different aspects they're trying to address right now.
And correcting faulty information. Briefly before our news, Secretary of State Kerry saying we want to clarify so that families know these kids can't just come straight into the U.S.
Exactly. That's, the idea of what message is being relayed to regular parents in those three countries has been a very important issue over the last couple of weeks. Vice President Biden was down there just a couple of weeks ago, partly to work with the governments on everything that we were talking about before, but also to kind of be there and talk directly to the parents of those countries to let them know, hey, look, whatever you're hearing, no, it's not just a free pass if your kid makes it to the United States. The thinking has been in the past the Obama administration has created programs that allow some young undocumented immigrants to stay in the country, but you know the deadline for that is long past. Congress is working on some bills to maybe allow some people to stay, but again, those would have deadlines, and these kids would not qualify. So they're trying to drive home the point that if these kids get here and they're caught by Border Patrol, the vast majority of them are, that they will immediately be put into deportation proceedings. And it's, especially what they're doing right now with these changes is speeding them up. So trying to show them, look, if you get here, it's not a free pass.
We'll jump in for just a moment. That's USA Today immigration reporter Alan Gomez. He stays with us talking about the latest immigration news.
And we want to know what you think. What do you think should be done to change immigration in the United States? Are you happy to hear that the president will try to address the issue through executive action? Call us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or send email to talk@WPR.org. We're continuing our conversation now with immigration reporter Alan Gomez after news from the White House on immigration reform and with tens of thousands of children from Central America detained at the border.
And we want to hear from you. What would you like to see change, if anything, in America's immigration system? Are you happy to hear that the president is looking to address this issue as much as he can through executive action? Why or why not? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email talk@WPR.org. We'll go right to our callers. We've got Harry on the line in Madison. Hi, Harry.
Yes, hi. Immigration is a central government function. The Congress won't do anything, so the president is trying to do what he can. We should not criticize him. Regarding the children who are coming from Central America, I would like Mr. Gomez to explain to the listening audience what the situation is in Honduras, Guatemala, Salvador, Jamaica, and Puerto Rico. In those countries, crime is rampant. Honduras is the number one murder capital of the world. And Jamaica and Guatemala are not far behind. Those children are fleeing the real threat of murder and crime trafficking and human trafficking.
Harry, thanks a lot for the call. Alan, whatever we do on the U.S.-Mexico border, these things that Harry's talking about may drive kids and adults, for that matter, to flee and hope for the best when they get here.
And he's absolutely right. Honduras is number one right now in the world in murder. Guatemala and El Salvador are in the top six as well. And that gives you an indication of just the level of violence that these countries are facing right now. Drug cartels, gangs, just kind of running rampant down there. And they're targeting these kids. A lot of the kids are trying to recruit. The young boys are actually trying to recruit into these cartels. The young girls try to get recruited as participants and also as girlfriends. We're hearing quite a bit about these days. So, the violence is incredibly high right there. The U.S. government has tried to send some money down there to help them with drug prevention, with cartel, trying to ease the violence that's going on down there. But as you can imagine, that's something that takes years, if not decades, to solve. So that's not in any way going to be the solution that we need right now.
That's maybe a long-term approach. Also in the news this week, we haven't touched on this, anti-immigration protesters. The kids stuck at the border have been transported by bus to other locations trying to find places to hold them. We saw protests in California. Do you think we're going to see a rise again of self-appointed citizen border patrols?
Well, I got to tell you, I was really curious to see what's going on out there in California. For the past year, there's been just tons of demonstrations, rallies by people supporting these immigrants who are trying to come in, trying to stop deportations. We've seen people stop buses of immigrants in the past, but from the context of trying to prevent them from getting to immigration court so that they can't be deported. This is really one of the first times that I've seen, and I've been covering immigration for a while now, a demonstration of any size like this, really trying to like make the point that they're making, trying to get these folks out of here. So I'm very curious to see sort of how this develops. I mean, there are all sorts of immigration advocacy groups out there that can coordinate rallies on the National Mall in D.C., who can rally marches in cities all across the country, but there's not that many that really are on this side of the equation. Not a lot of people really want to get behind the idea of, hey, let's kick out all the immigrants. So this is a development that's pretty interesting, and I'm very curious to see sort of how it rolls out in the next few weeks.
We'll get back to our callers now at 800-642-1234. We've got Mike on the line in Kenosha. Mike, hi.
Yes, hi. I see both sides of this issue. I think certainly when these immigrants come here, they can have a positive impact. I look at the city of Chicago in the 80s and how some of these neighborhoods were revitalized. However, I think there's a point where it's becoming a little out of control, and I think these folks are taking advantage of our freedoms, and maybe we're not having a very thoughtful response to this. And, you know, thoughts range from, you know, the negative legacy that some of these folks are going to have, or their children are going to have coming to this country in a less than legal fashion. You know, what does that say for your family's history? I know my family came here from Italy, and, you know, those are my grandparents are my heroes. I don't know if that's going to be the same for some of these folks, who maybe there might be a cloud over the way that they came here. Do we really have to allow folks that are simply born here to be citizens, or?
Gotcha, Mike. A lot of conflict going on among Mike, much less among the country. What do you think about some of the points he brought up, Alan?
Well, a couple of things there. I mean, first off, I mean, it's in the Constitution. It's federal law that if you're born in this country, you're a citizen. So I think that's, you know, and there have been attempts in the past to work on that. But, you know, if you think it's hard to pass just a regular immigration bill through Congress, I can tell you that one would be incredibly difficult. But on the point of sort of clouding the history of a family, I can just tell you in speaking to, I can't even tell you how many undocumented immigrants that are in this country, I haven't found anybody who's made that point. I haven't found anybody who's been worried about that. And I can tell you that, if anything, what they see is a sense of pride in the sense of that their father or their grandfather made this journey across a desert to get to this place so that they can provide for their family, that they can start a new life here. You know, I'm not talking here as a proponent of any of this. I'm just telling you what I've heard over the years, and I can tell you I've never heard anybody say, you know, they worry about the fact that their status is mixed and what their rights are and what their future is like, whether they can go to college, whether can they apply for scholarships, things like that. But in terms of the image of their family and the sort of self image of their family, that's something that I can tell you I've never heard come up.
Looking at the politics of this, there have been divisions within the Republican Party at this issue. Speaking broadly, a business wing wanting some kind of immigration reform, what we might call a Tea Party wing, opposed to it. This came up as an issue in Eric Cantor's loss in a congressional primary. Do you see those kind of divisions within the Republican Party, Alan?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the Republicans have had, ever since the 2012 election, have had a really tough time getting a handle on how to treat immigration. And that election is very important because Mitt Romney got 27% of the Hispanic vote. That helped contribute to his loss. And immediately after that, the Republican National Committee came out with a report saying that they needed to do better by Hispanics. And part of that was to, if not embrace immigration reform, at least have a better conversation on the issue. Some Republicans, like former Florida Governor Jeb Bush, have spoken quite a bit about the need to at least soften the tone when it comes to immigrants. And some of them have, I can think of the example of Mick Mulvaney. He's a Republican Tea Party guy from South Carolina. He speaks fluent Spanish and held the town hall a couple of months ago to speak directly to his Hispanic members of his district. So there are some that are really trying to push it, but there are some that are saying, hey, that, you know, that think that the inclusion of all these immigrants here, the expansion of an immigration system that allows more foreigners to get in here at a time when so many Americans are still unemployed, is just incredibly unfair to American workers who are struggling to find work and are in many cases competing against these workers. So there is a very sharp division, and I can tell you that the party is still, it's still really hard to say where the party at large is on this issue.
We'll leave it there for the moment. Alan, thanks for joining us again.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
We've been talking to Alan Gomez. He's an immigration reporter for USA Today.